They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It is Tuesday. That means Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. It means Bo Pelini, Nebraska football coach press conference coming your way from Lincoln in the second half of the show. And it means our weekly Husker chat every Tuesday. We make sure and catch up with one of the pals of the program today. It's going to be Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald. He's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes on the program. Tony, I'm not even waiting until Friday for this prediction. I think this will be a letdown game for Nebraska. I just think there's too much going on that the team has to be involved with this 300th celebration, coming off a loss. I do not expect it could be the exact type of score that we saw the first two games, but this is going to be tough, ain't it? Well, plus, don't tell me they're not thinking about Missouri.
Well, they are. They're going to tell you they're not. The whole focus has got to be, I think, you're going to say one game at a time. No, the whole focus is starting to be on this conference schedule. You've already taken care of the Sun Belt teams that you thought you were going to take care of. But in the back of your mind, Doug, don't you, as a college football player, those guys watch the scores. Those guys realize there's a team that played Kansas State. And what they do to Kansas State? They beat Kansas State. They beat Kansas State. Kansas State goes on the road to UCLA, who the week before beat a Tennessee team.
Yeah.
They know these things.
14 to UCLA, who beat Tennessee, who played Florida within 10. Yeah, if you're going to go that far with it.
I think that they know that they've got to come out, I think, and set the tone at least for a quarter and a half. Now, I think the lack of focus in the second half that just irks Bo Pelini to no end, and you see that constantly. I think that's just natural. It's very difficult. I think you go up 21-0, you get lackadaisical, probably don't focus like you should, do things that you don't normally do. It's tough to remain focused. I think the first quarter will tell you everything you need to know about the game, period.
There are a lot of questions that Bo Pelini tried to answer yesterday. Is Zach Lee hurt? No. Did he know that Menelik Holt caught that football? Well, the referee told him he was plainly juggling it. That's why he called it incomplete. Coach Pelini said, I didn't get a good look at it. Then asked yesterday, after looking at the film, what do you think? Coach Pelini said, well, it looks pretty evident. Yes, I thought he caught the ball. But nobody has asked the most important question of all. And that's, did the headset survive? And we welcome in Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald, live from Memorial Stadium, getting ready for the press conference today. Mitch, did the headset survive the Bo Pelini toss in the fourth quarter?
I've got no report on the condition of the headset, but I do know that it almost took off Mike Smith. It almost gave him a close shave on the top of his head. I don't think Bo expected that 6'7" left tackle Mike Smith was going to be standing behind him when he turned around to throw that headset, and he almost gave Mike smack square in the middle of the head. But the other question that I don't think that Bo got asked and didn't get answered regarding the mental occult situation was, do you know the rule in that spot? And it sounds to me that he doesn't know the rule, because the rule clearly states, after reviewing it yesterday in the wake of the conference call, that in the end zone, in that situation, if the receiver drops the ball in the process of going to the ground, it's an incompletion. End of story. Not like at the 40-yard line, where if the ground causes the fumble, it's okay. In the end zone, this rule was changed in 2007 to mirror the NFL rule. That ball is an incompletion. There's no other interpretation to make out of it. And the other thing to remember is that every play gets reviewed in the booth. Just because they didn't stop play to make an official review and essentially call an official timeout, every play in the booth gets reviewed. So the replay officials did not err. The on-field official did not air. That was an incompletion, and that's not something that Nebraska fans should be upset about.
Tony? As soon as it happened, if he comes up with it, then maybe they at least look at whether he's inbound. Here's the point. I think we forget about that. It's in the past. As Bo Pelini said, it wasn't one play that cost them that football game. Mitch, do you think it was one play that cost them that football game?
There were about seven or eight plays that cost them that football game, and that wasn't one of them. Go look at Rule 7-3-6. You have to catch the ball through the ground when you're in the end zone or out of the end zone for a touchdown to occur. So,
fair enough, Mitch. The rule sucks.
I agree. In 2006, that may have been a touchdown, but it's not since 2007. Anyway, to answer your question, yeah, there were a lot of plays and a lot of sequences that you change it one of those things in favor of Nebraska, and we're talking about a victory and Nebraska being 3-0 this week. So that's the thing that I think is most difficult to swallow for the Huskers and their fans as they get ready for Louisiana Lafayette.
Mitch, Bo Pelini liked practice yesterday, liked the tempo. What can you say about the demeanor in which you saw there at practice?
I was surprised. I guess it surprises me how resilient these kids are because, I'm surrounded by media and fans in the state who continue, as we're doing right now, to dissect that game and go over plays and go over rulings and go over anything that could have happened differently one way or the other, and it just seems to just sit in your gut. But out there at the start of practice yesterday, I didn't see that from the players. I saw the running backs going through a drill where they were smashing into a blocking dummy and laughing and having a great time, and Coach Beck was hooting and hollering with them. And I saw a lot of intensity in the brief period of practice that I was able to watch, and that was backed up by what Bo Pelini said after practice. By all accounts, it sounded like it was fast. It was hard hitting. That these guys came out with one of their better practices of the season in the aftermath, less than 48 hours after what can only be described as a breaking defeat. So, they're young and they're resilient, and I think they'll bounce back well on Saturday.
Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show press conference day. We'll hear from Coach Pelini in the second half of the show. What about the whole Zach Lee thing? Boy, yesterday morning it was broken wrist, and last night it was like a Band-Aid. What's the final verdict here?
Well, there's no final verdict yet. We haven't heard from Zach, but I think it's pretty bizarre about the way the whole thing went down. I don't really think that he's going to sit out practice on Monday because the other guys need to get time. And that was the explanation that Sean Watson gave. And I'm not going to say that Sean Watson was just making up stories, but Zach Lee started three games in his career. He's not to the point, experience-wise, where it's time to take 25% of his practice reps away so Cody Green and LaTravis Washington can get out there and get their feet wet. Zach Lee needs practice. I think that was evident from what happened Saturday. He was sitting out for some reason. Bo Pelini said that it was a medication issue. I think that's probably a lot more closer to home than the explanation we got about resting him on Mondays. Now, you may want to take some of the physical contact away, but quarterbacks wear green jerseys anyway. You don't see Ndamukong Suh or Roy Helu or Philip Dillard sitting out Mondays because the younger guys need to get reps. I don't think that's a legitimate reason for him being out yesterday. So he's got something wrong with his left thumb. It seems to be pretty minor. I think he'll be at practice today. Don't think it's going to limit him in the game on Saturday. Probably in the end, this thing is a very minor issue, but Nebraska was pretty strange how the whole thing was handled yesterday.
Mitch, has anybody heard anything out of Matt O'Hanlon, and what's his state of mind right now?
I know he's pretty upset after the game, and that's the reason he didn't talk, do interviews after the game, and he didn't do interviews again yesterday, but he is scheduled to be at the press conference today. And that'll be the first that we hear from Matt. And the thing to remember here is, it's really unfortunate that he's now going to be remembered for that play. And those are the kind of plays that don't go away. Those are the things that in 2020, when you're remembering back on his career, people are going to remember that play. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is. Whether it's a good play or a bad play, when you make one that has that kind of an impact on that kind of a game, people are going to remember you for it, no matter what else you did in your career. And Matt bounced back on the field right away. He sack Tyrod Taylor for an 8-yard loss the next play. He had a good practice yesterday, according to Marvin Sanders. It's a tough deal for a guy who's overcome so much in his career to earn a scholarship and, you know, basically come from a walk-on tryout and having no shot to make the team and getting on and being a starter and being a black shirt. So, he's got to put it behind him, and I know he's really hurting over that breakdown on that pass play.
Well, he was one of the keys in the Gator Bowl. You're right. That's going to be all forgotten, and this is what he's going to be remembered for.
Well, he just got to step up and if he makes a play that would help win a game against a Missouri or something on the road, maybe that'll ease the pain. So as we let this game go and get ready for the Raging Cajuns, the effect on the entire season is what in your eyes from this game, Mitch?
Pretty minimal. I mean, I don't think anybody or very few people here expected Nebraska to go 14-0 this season. That wasn't in the works for this team. They're still building, obviously, in year two under Pelini. Nebraska goes to Missouri on October 8th and wins. Then all of a sudden that's a bigger game than Virginia Tech. If this thing turns into a snowball effect and they don't regain their confidence in tight situations as a result of the way things went in this game last Saturday, then you're going to look back on that and say that it was a big deal. But I fully do not expect that that's going to be the case with this team. I think these guys will not let that hurt them down the road. Going into that game, I thought if Nebraska wins it, it's good. But it's not as significant as it would be to do that in the Big 12. When you get into the Big 12, and especially the Big 12 North, that's where Nebraska is going to make its money this season, and that starts on October 8th. So this game could end up being one that is a painful one, but not as significant as several others down the road.
Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald, just another couple minutes with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we get ready for Bo Pelini's press conference today. We touched on it at the very top of the program today, Mitch, and I assume Coach will probably be asked this today during the press conference, but how much does the extra with the 300th celebration and kind of all the hoopla, I mean, it's not all around the football team, but they will be involved in it somewhat with the 62 team and putting on new uniforms and all that kind of thing. Does that affect the college kid? Will that play into anything as focusing for the actual game?
I think they'll enjoy wearing the uniforms. Some of them probably won't notice. I think that's about as far as it goes. I mean, all that other stuff is on the periphery, and I don't even think it really affects the coaching staff too much. I mean, I'm standing here watching them stamp the 300 sellout logo onto the field between the 20 and 30 yard line in the north end zone on Nebraska's sideline right now. So, you know, this stuff is going to be going on, like you mentioned, all around them as the week goes on. But it's not an issue for the team. I mean, these guys, they're aware of it, but I don't think it's going to certainly be anything that distracts them. If there's any impact at all, I suppose they might be motivated a little bit by meeting some of those 62 players if they're around during the week and they get to meet them on Friday or Thursday. That'll probably instill a little pride in the Huskers, and maybe the distraction, whatever distraction there is, can kind of get their minds off of Virginia Tech if some of these guys are still thinking about that and remind them, you know, what kind of a place they play at, a school that's been able to sell out every home game since 1962, and you think that would be a positive factor going into this game.
Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, Doug talked about the lack of focus maybe being on this game. Is that something that Coach Pelini, you think, will just deal with and they will come out and take care of business? Or what's your immediate feeling of the Lafayette team?
Lafayette's another Sun Belt team. They're probably in a similar level as Florida Atlantic or Arkansas State. I think those teams actually were picked ahead of Lafayette in the Sun Belt. So, you know, it's an overmatched opponent, no matter how you look at it. And anytime you have that, you know, especially coming off a game like Nebraska had on Saturday, there's that possibility for a letdown. I don't see it happening. I know Nebraska's got Missouri a week from now, but there's an off week before that, 2 weeks from now, I should say. There's an off week before that. They're not going to be looking ahead to the Big 12. I think they want to get that taste out of their mouth that they have last week and go out and you know, beat somebody soundly and finish off 3-1 in non-conference play. I suppose you may see a little bit of a it may take a little while for Nebraska to get jump started on Saturday, you know, part of the first quarter, but I don't think it's going to be long lasting. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll play well by the time the game's over.
Mitch, last question. If memory serves me right, a month ago, this was supposed to be the weakest of the three Sun Belt conference opponents. Is that still the case?
I think so. Honestly, I haven't looked a ton at Lafayette. You know, as we talked here, we've still been dissecting and going over all kinds of aspects of that Virginia Tech game. You know, from what I know about Lafayette, they're 2-1. They beat Kansas State at home. They lost to LSU pretty handily last week in Baton Rouge. I think comparing them to Florida Atlantic and Arkansas State, like you mentioned, this was supposed to be the weakest of the three, but you never know. They may end up being the best of the three. They were picked right in the middle of the bunch in the Sun Belt. So regardless, either way, it's not a team that is, you know, on the level of Nebraska physically. So it's a team that Nebraska should be able to handle, and I think when the dust settles on Saturday, that's what'll happen.
How was Enter Sandman?
It was a letdown.
Really?
Not as good as I thought. You know, I guess you get this thing built up in your mind. You know, first of all, the video screen there is about 1/8 the size of Nebraska's. And you know, while the people were very nice, I didn't think the atmosphere was overly intimidating. Part of that may have been because it was an out-of-conference team and it was not a night game. I'm sure it's tougher for you know, Miami to come in there and play a night game. But no, I didn't. Enter Sandman was really short. You know, it was fairly loud, but you know, I didn't think it was an issue at all. I'd not rank it among the you know, five or six most intimidating places or entrances
really, even
to a college stadium that I've seen. No, it was a letdown for everything that I've heard about it. It was nice. It was well done, but nothing at all to be intimidated by.
Anyone on the porch, the banjo?
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that.
Mitch, we'll let you get to work. We sure appreciate your time, and we'll see you Saturday.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald, kind enough to join us on this Bo Pelini press conference. See, now I feel good, because that would have been, like, the number one reason I would have wanted to be there. Outside of the game, I would have been jacked to be there to see it, because you've seen it on television before, and it just seems like it's crazy, and, All right, there you go.
A little Debbie Downer a little bit.
I guess so.
All that way.
Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald. Bo Pelini's press conference coming your way live. We need to take a break. We got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia and a whole bunch more to talk about after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell,
for generations, Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry needs. We're the experts on masonry and concrete products in the region with over 140 years of combined experience at our two locations. We're particular about who we deal with and what products we sell. With a high level of customer service at both locations, Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
If you've noticed a change in your hearing, then it's time to see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. The unique partnership between our audiologists and physicians allow us to provide unsurpassed care and state-of-the-art hearing health care. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Hear that? Not good. That's hail. Anybody who's lived in Nebraska for more than a month understands the weather can turn on you in a heartbeat. So what if it happens to you this storm season? Do you realize you have a friend who can put you back together again? Eustace Body Shop, as they have for years, making your vehicle look like new. That's what they do. Eustace Body Shops, Grand Island, Kearney, Lexington, Cozad, and Eustace.
The most recommended Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are.
Car insurance isn't about the car. It's about the precious cargo the car carries. It's about providing security and confidence that if an accident occurs, you'll be protected. I'm Dave Challey of Barney Insurance. As a local independent agent, we can design an insurance program that's just right for you and your family, providing safe, sound, secure insurance protection from Auto Owners Insurance. Stop by or give us a call.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
It's another exciting Friday night of high school football on our network of stations this week. On ESPN 1460, Kearney Catholic will host Cambridge. On ESPN 1550, Hastings St. Cecilia welcomes in Fillmore Central. On 1230 KHAS, McCook is at Hastings. And on the FM dial, 98.9 FM KKPR has Pleasanton at Hampton. And The Breeze, 94.5 FM, has Kennesaw at Silver Lake. And every game is also available on the web at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Well, see considerable cloud cover across the area as we head through the day today with some showers possible with a high in the low 60s. Northwest winds will also remain gusty at times. Tonight, we'll see more shower activity with a low at 46. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 52.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Reminding you when it's time to root on your favorite team, you can find your gear at Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. T-shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, and hats for the Huskers, Lopers, Kearney High Bearcats, Kearney Catholic Stars, and plenty of other college and NFL hoodies to choose from. Misco Sports has all the gear you need, whether it's cool or whether it's warm. And right now we're kind of into that sweatshirt type wear and weather. Even Daddy in long sleeves today. Misco's can also help out the officials from the area. Caps and socks, whistles and flags, shirts and knickers. They have whatever you need to keep the game under control. Stop by and see Steve and the gang today at Misco Sports. Open 7 days a week on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. Open late Thursday. See them before the games begin. 888-455-3776.
Here's Lee from Hastings, guys.
Lee on the phone line this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Lee. What's going on?
Pretty good, Doug. How are you doing, Doug?
Doing okay. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to, I kind of disagree with Mitch. I was at the game Saturday, and I don't know, maybe it's where he was up in the press box or whatever, but being out on that in that stadium with that crowd, you know, jumping up and down, and, you know, it was pretty amazing. You got 60,000 people hopping up and down to Sandman, and I'm a 61-year-old guy, but I tell you what, it made the hair on the back of my neck.
Hey, Lee, answer this for me. It looks on TV like that stadium is just straight up and down. Is that the case?
Not as much as I thought it was. I think the Husky Stadium in Seattle was a little more straight up and down. And of course, they had the overhangs there to keep things in. This was pretty much, I would compare it a lot to like Notre Dame Stadium, except it wasn't all filled in. You know, it wasn't a total circle. I mean, they had the one end was kind of open, but they had maybe 30 or 40 rows at the north end, but the south end was pretty high. I'm guessing there's probably 100 rows on each side, you know.
Well, Lee, I hope you enjoyed everything but the outcome. Hey, I appreciate the call, buddy.
Yeah, that was pretty gut-wrenching, that end. But the fans were great. They were coming up and saying that they didn't feel like they should have won the game, that we should have won it. So, I mean, they were very, very good fans, I felt.
Well, hopefully we can get the next one on the road in a couple of weeks.
There you go.
Thanks for the call, Lee. Lee from Hastings giving us a call, 1-888-455-3776.
Here's Bill from Burwell, guys.
Well, let's keep it rolling. Bill from Burwell. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good. What's up?
Good. Hey, you know, Sherman made a comment that O'Hanlon will have a tough time bouncing back from this. You know, that's what he's always going to be remembered for. But if Sue would have been dancing around back there with Tyrod Taylor, we probably wouldn't have had that problem, would we?
The thing is that with the television cameras as good as they were, you can see, again, the whole thing was these guys were preached contain, 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 and as soon as their pump faked, it stopped them in their tracks a little bit, and then they went again and kind of got a half step closer. Yeah, it did seem to take forever, though. You're right. Sue got him both plays, the long pass and the touchdown pass, but he got the ball away just as he was starting to drag him down. Bill, you know, there was a lot of plays, and I guess obviously those two are going to stand out.
Suppose you're right. Love the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call. Bill from Burwell. We appreciate anybody that gives us a call on the Doug and Daddy Show, 888-455-ESPN. And just, again,
listen. And if you have a BlackBerry, that's 3776.
Yeah.
I've had people go, I was going to call in, but damn it, my BlackBerry doesn't have those numbers like this.
I hate expensive technology. 888-455-3776. You'll also need to know that for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Just kind of reading articles, listening to other shows yesterday. Yeah. some Nebraska fans just still can't get over certain plays. You got to get.
What happened to the goal line formation with Sue in the backfield? Is that we just totally scrapped that? I thought that was very effective a year ago and something that was kind of fun and everybody kind of liked.
Yeah, but kind of fun in a 15-10 ball game or a 12-10 game is something you don't want to pay attention to. You want to get some things done. You want to get you don't want to run gimmicks, I don't think. I think gimmicky is the word there. Yeah, it's fun when you're up 35-7. But when you're trying to win on the road against the top 20 team.
I suppose that would be the time when Quentin Castillo, everybody expected him to be in the ball game banging away down there, and that's something Nebraska maybe doesn't have. Maybe that was the first time that you noticed, really wish we'd have him on this team.
Here's Joe from Kearney, guys.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Joe from Kearney ringing into the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, what's up?
Oh, not much, guys. I just wanted to talk about that last caller there. Yeah. Sue, what was he doing? I understand that we're trying to contain Tyrod Taylor, but if you give any quarterback in a Division I school 10 seconds to throw the ball, he's going to find somebody open.
You would think so. And let me ask you this, though, Joe. Is Ndamukong Suh the only defensive lineman we have?
No. The whole defensive line needed to rush him. But also, I heard you guys talking about Line and Sue up in the backfield. I was also wondering why we never try using Cody Green on the goal line one of the three or four times we were down there.
I haven't heard that posed yet. Joe, thanks for the call. Sure appreciate it. 888-455-3776. Again, I think you're still talking about a young team. Zach Lee's taken three games of snaps. Cody Green has never started. You probably want a little bit more experience before you start tinkering. I mean, let's face it. What if you brought Cody Green in and he drops the snap? Oh, my God, the state of Nebraska would have a roast. They would fry everybody involved. So, I mean, you've got to take a look at what would happen. I mean, when it doesn't work, it's easy to jump on. And when it does, I mean, none of this would even be considered if Nebraska – gets to the 18-point mark and wins this football game. I mean, this is all, got to get better. And now it's like every play cost him the game.
Here's Brian from Kearney, guys.
Brian on the phone line at 888-455-3776. Brian, what's up?
Hey, guys, just kind of listening to your show. Love the show. Just want to let you know, one of the questions I had, I heard you guys, everybody's got this Cody Green thing in their heads, and the two guys that we never did see were Cody Green or Rex Burkhead. We didn't expect to see Cody Green, but when we've seen Zach Lee struggling as much as he was there ever a time where we even thought about putting Cody Green in for a series just to calm Zach Lee down and as a positive thing, not as a negative, hey, we want to get rid of you, but same with Rex Burkhead. He was good enough to play the first two games, and now all of a sudden we don't give him any carries. Is the confidence in those two guys maybe down a little bit when they see that in the first two games, and then all of a sudden they're not quite good enough to play in a game like this?
As far as Burkhead, here's what I keep hearing. Sean Watson, when he runs the offense, his MO has been find who's hot and ride him. And in a close game, he didn't want to get away.
Tough to argue with Halu, is it not?
Yeah, Halu is doing a great job. As far as the Cody Green thing, I would just totally, totally disagree. Why would you, if Cody Green was the best quarterback, he'd be starting. He's not the best quarterback. He's a true freshman. And again, this takes me back to the very beginning of the year. It's fine to cheer the lad when you bring him into the ball game, but Husker fan, once again, always thinks that the backup is the best. And thanks for the call. Appreciate that. But that just burns my butt. It burns me. Why would you bring Cody Green in unless Zach Lee's hurt? Why? Why would you do it? Was there any circumstance you would do that? What reasonable coach would do that? I totally, totally would never do that. If Cody Green... and I hate the Wildcat, but if Cody Green was brought in some kind of a Wildcat formation in plays that they ran in practice that they designed just like any other play you would run, instead of going like a four wide out set, you bring in Cody Green and you've got four or five plays you run out of a formation, that's one thing. I'm not hearing that the Huskers have that, and if they do, they're not satisfied with whatever is happening in practice to translate it into a game. It's the third game of the season. Nebraska was winning the football game. Their defense was dominating the football game. A fluke play ends up costing them a win.
But Doug, Zach Lee, I think everybody will admit that Zach Lee was not the quarterback we saw. Yes, he was probably more pressure there, but the balls he was throwing were well off the mark a lot of the day.
Well, this wasn't Arkansas State.
I understand
this
that.
This wasn't Florida Atlantic, so you think a true freshman, as opposed to Zach Lee, who's been in the junior college ranks, been a year in the Husker system, would have been better suited to come in? I just can't even believe we're discussing this. I cannot believe we're discussing this. Cody Green is going to be a great player, it appears, for 2 years in his junior and senior season when Zach Lee graduates and moves on from the program. At the collegiate level, that's all you could hope for. Every program is worried about starting a young quarterback.
All I'm saying is, I'm not voting for Cody Green to come in and play football, but where was the confident Zach Lee? It was his first road game. I'll give him that. But there were throws that he easily made. The passing attack down the field was non-existent. Now, that's not all on Zach Lee. That's right. Some on Sean Watson.
Don't forget, there was a couple of times Zach scrambled and made incredible passes when it looked like he was going to get a 2-yard run, and he'd flip it over the defensive back, and there was a nice gain on the play. So his numbers weren't the greatest ever.
Here's Weston from Alma on the line.
By the way, neither were Jamarcus Russell's, and they won for Oakland, so you never know. You can't just ERA, win. What do you want? You want a winner. You want a winner. And maybe he didn't do enough on Saturday. What are we doing here? Weston from Alma?
Yep.
Weston, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
How you guys doing?
Well, we're surviving.
Yeah.
What's up?
I can say, I think you played a hell of a game, despite those last couple of plays. I mean, how many knockdown passes did you have?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't understand the roasting of Sue because he got to Tyrod Taylor. He just didn't get to him right away.
Right.
I totally agree. I totally agree, Wes. And if we're going to start bashing the best player on the team, again, that's just beyond my comprehension. So the Alma Cardinals going to pick up a win this weekend?
I hope so.
All right, buddy. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yep, thanks.
Weston from Alma chiming in, 888-455-ESPN. We're waiting for Bo Pelini in Lincoln right now. Alex Henry's up there. Yeah, that's what I thought. He is your Big 12 Player of the Week at special teams. So before we get into Bo Pelini, we've got a couple of more things to do. We need to take a break. We need to hit Troutman's Tuesday Trivia as well here on the Doug and Daddy Show. $25 gift card coming your way from a Troutman's Quality Meats. And we will get into that in just a moment. We'll take a break. Be back with more right after this.
This is the ESPN Superstation's Doug and Daddy Show.
Live and unrehearsed. Unrehearsed.
You son of a...
Unrehearsed.
Unfortunately.
StubHub!
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Are you looking for NFL tickets? StubHub.com is your place. More fans statistically sell tickets on StubHub than any other site, so you get to take advantage of StubHub's unmatched ticket selection. Couple that with StubHub's Fan Protect Guarantee, and it's easy to get to the game, your seats, where you want to go, guaranteed. More tickets, more choice, more service, more guarantees. Go to StubHub.com or call 1-866-STUBHUB.
Can you believe all the claims out there from the motor oil guys? Like,
patented piston pumping polymers.
Or,
race-ready performance particles.
At least Valvoline decided to offer something that actually means something. A guarantee. It's simple. Register your car at Valvoline.com before 75,000 miles. Start using Valvoline, and they'll guarantee your engine for up to 300,000 miles. So forget
viscosity, massaging, ions.
And get guaranteed with Valvoline. Go to Valvoline.com for detailed benefits and limitations.
You've dressed to the nines before, but how about eating to the nines with one of the new $9.99 Skeeter Barn specials? Tonight, riblets, cooked to juicy right out of the smoker perfection. 1 pound of true heaven with two of Skeeter's award-winning sides for $9.99 every Tuesday. One of the more for your money meals in 2009. Click on Skeeter Barn's ad at ESPNSuperstation.com for all the daily specials, as well as options for catering your next event. Skeeter Barn's, just south of the I-80 interchange, Kearney.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. We're realizing the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, their health. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united.
South Central United Way, serving Adams, Clay, Knuckles, and Webster counties.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Bo Pelini has a step to the podium. He's being asked about the 300th consecutive sellout. Let's go to Lincoln.
You know, whole university, it's something to be proud of, and you know, with the record and the honoring of the 62 team and who started the streak and everything. And it should be a pretty fun weekend, something to be proud of. And, you know, I think it's a celebration as much of Nebraska football as the fans of Nebraska football. And it shows it's something special.
What does it mean to you when you hear comparisons of yourself to a guy like Bob Devine?
They should be comparing me to Bob Devaney. Bob Devaney did a lot. I haven't done anything.
Now that you've been back here for 2 years, you know, what's your impression of Nebraska fans? I mean, not only their expectations, but the way they support the program.
Well, I mean, just, you know, everything entailed that's going into this weekend, it just shows me that, I just think it, I guess I'm searching for the word, epitomizes the fan base here and the loyalty of the fans, the passion of the fans. And, you know, I think what gets lost sometimes is, you know, you think of a sellout streak and you think of the amount of people that come to the games and fill the stadium. But when you've been other places, as I have, and you've been around the country, and the people, the visiting people who come into this stadium and the respect that people walk out of here for our fan base and the classiness of the fans that fill that stadium is something that really touches people that come in here. And I think that it's something to be proud of. I mean, that they, you know, the opposing teams, opposing coaches, everybody comes out of here saying, wow, you know, it's different here than it is any place else. And I think that, you know, that along with the streak and along with, you know, having all the sellouts, but the way they act also and the classiness of how they go about things here is something that's different than any place else. I mean, I guess you'd have to be away from here and, you know, kind of hear it from the opposing side to really have appreciation for the way people feel, you know, especially opposing teams when they walk out of here. It's something to be very proud of.
A lot of the players, they said they can tune out the fans and they focus on football. It's almost like tunnel vision. Do you have any time during a game day where you're looking up at the crowd or you sense they can hear the crowd, or is it all just football?
Well, you can hear the crowd, you know, but, you know, when you're playing, you don't, it's kind of, you kind of hear it in between you, but you have to find a focus to play and to coach and to do the things that you can't get caught up in all the other things that are going on. But to say that it doesn't affect you at all, you know, I mean, that's not necessarily the case, you know, that's not really the case, but, you know, you can't let it consume you. And because even if you're at home and it's exciting you, it can work to your disadvantage too. You know, you got to keep it all in perspective. You know what I'm saying?
So how much will the Lord help the linebackers on Saturday and just evaluate his performance?
I thought Phil played well. You know, he moved over to Will linebacker and did a good job. You know, he brought a physicality to the position and he did some good things for moving over to that position and brought some maturity, some experience over into the group, and I think he's fitting well there. I think that's glad we made that move. I mean, I think he did a good job. He played well.
How was Blake responding to that move?
Blake responded well. I mean, well, it's. We, you know, Blake, you know, is going through, he's been nicked up a little bit and had some, you know, was on and off. And, you know, both he and May are still repping at the position. And, you know, so, I mean, it just makes us deeper. And, you know, you kind of move guys around until you kind of find the right combinations. And we're going to need a lot of these guys to step up before the season's over. And it's not really a indictment on how Blake was playing as much as we thought that, especially for that football game, that Phil could bring something to the table, and he did.
Value do you place on Alex Henry and what he does for the guys?
I can't tell you. He's invaluable. He just seems like I always say he has ice water in his veins. He just walks out there and does his job, and his demeanor never changes. And obviously you add the punting to what he's been able to do as a place kicker, and he's been pretty exceptional. And I wouldn't trade him for anybody in the country. He does a great job.
Have you ever seen him even get flustered before? He just seems like a guy that never shows any kind of emotion.
No. No, it kind of freaks me out sometimes.
What was your reaction on that kick, that the punt looked like it might have been blocked, and he ran, and then rugby kicked it to the other end of the field?
I'll be honest with you, I was in shock because I didn't know what the heck he was doing. From my angle, I couldn't see that the snap pulled him to the side. And I was like, what is he doing? And I wasn't sure if he, I'll be honest with you, when I first looked up, I thought he was running the football, and I was like, good God, what's going on? And then he hit a mortar shot off his foot, and I was just disappointed the ball didn't, the ball stayed in. I see Alex back there. he's laughing, but then I was just, I wish the ball would have stayed in. It was a phenomenal kick. But I've seen him do things like that in practice, so it really doesn't surprise me. Now, the running part of it, I don't see him do that in practice. That's why I was so shocked.
Be afraid he'd get broken in too if he took
much contact? No, he showed last year he can take a hit. He's tougher than you think. And he's very athletic. You can see, you can't do that unless you're a tremendous athlete. He's a tremendous athlete.
How often does he miss in practice, and does it just kind of stop you in your track for a second when he does?
Yeah, every now and then he misses, he'll tell you. I want to say it was last week or the week before, and he kicked it. I always tell him, hit that draw, he missed one in practice about a week ago or a week or two ago. And you say he doesn't show any emotion. I just looked at him. I said, you're just messing with me, right? And he looked at me, and he just kind of started laughing, like, I don't know whether he was or he wasn't, but...
Much life that you see out of him
is
just that.
Yeah, he just started laughing. I was glad I got a chance to crack a smile. But he's very serious, and just like you say, he's just kind of very calm. And I know he has a tremendous amount of confidence, and I think that's why he does so well.
Does he live the kicker's life? The cliche about the kicker being isolated and so forth, but is he one of the guys?
Oh, he's one of the guys. I don't know. Yeah, he's one of the guys. He's a pretty quiet guy. I don't know. He's a pretty special guy. He really is.
This was asked yesterday, but what kind of went into the Collins Okafor decision to come back after he seemed like he left for a day or so?
Well, Collins is he's a little frustrated. And I told him, I said, you need to be happy where you are. I said, he needed some time to kind of figure things out. My intent was I want him on our football team, but, he's got to want to be on our football team. I said, I gave him a little bit of time to kind of figure it out, what he needs and what he wants. He came to the conclusion that this is a place where he needs to stay, and just Collins has ability. He's just raw right now. He's still learning the game, and sometimes you think, as a player, it happens to a lot of young men. They think short term rather than long term and big picture. And I think once he thought things through, he realized this is where he wants to be. So we left the door open for him. I didn't want to. He said, I want to come back. And I said, let's go. It's an easy decision. He was at that point where he was frustrated and he needed to figure some things out, and I gave him some time.
Well, what was your evaluation of your protection of Zach on Saturday, and then what role did that have in the day he had?
But the protection was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. They have a couple guys, a couple athletes, coming off the edge that can stress you. I think he stepped up. I thought he did some. You play a good football team, good defense. You're going to get some pressure in the pocket side. It's not going to be perfect, and you're not going to have all day to throw all the time. But overall, I thought the protection was good, and did it. I don't know anytime you get play against, it's probably the first time he's been in that kind of environment, and probably had a little bit of an effect on him, but he'll be better because of it, because of going through that and having played through that game. And I felt like he got more comfortable, a lot more comfortable as the game went on, which is to be expected.
So what was he on medicine for? You mentioned he was on medication.
Zach?
Yeah.
I'm not real sure off the top of my head. It's, whether he took some kind of medication or had a shot or something like that, and they don't want you to practice the next day. I believe it was for some kind of infection, but I'm not sure what kind of infection it was. But he got the shot on Sunday, and then they don't want him to practice the next day on Monday. It wasn't for the thumb. It was for his. It wasn't for the hand. It was for his other arm.
Did you misspeak yesterday? You said that he had a splinter.
Yeah, I meant like a splinter. He has a little break in his left hand thumb, but it's just, it's a splinter fracture or something like that. That's what I meant.
Safety can be a tough position if you blow an assignment and everyone's...
I read that, too. I read that it was a splinter. I was thinking people were going to think that he had a splinter in his... And I read that last night or this morning or something. I thought, that's probably not... That isn't what I meant, but... anyway. But go ahead.
Well, what do you... If a safety has a blown assignment and everyone notices it, what do you tell a guy like that the day after, get him on the right track? How does a guy recover from a play like that?
I've been there. You recover. You make a mistake. Unfortunately, believe it wasn't just a safety. There was a number of things there were a couple things that contributed to that happening. It wasn't just a safety, and you get it corrected. There were a couple breakdowns.
Knowing what you know about Matt and what he's done to get to the position he's in now in his career, how do you see him, he had a sack on the next play, so apparently he moved forward pretty quickly, but how do you see him in the coming weeks playing?
Well, I think he'll be fine. Yeah, he's a strong, tough-minded kid, and people forget that that's the same kid who knocked the ball down in the Gator Bowl, saved that football game. One play doesn't define somebody. And like I said, it wasn't, people are going to analyze it and point and say that was Matt O'Hanlon only. It wasn't.
If Asante can't go on Saturday, who would go next to O'Hanlon in that safety spot? Or who's been working? Oh, we'll be the guy out there.
Ricky Thenars, in fact, I just talked. Ricky Thenars needs to play more. And you're going to see Ricky Thenars out there more, and you're probably going to see P.J. Smith out there more. You kind of get into a rut sometimes where, I shouldn't say a rut, but where, you know, things are going good defensively and you don't sub as much as you as you'd like to or as much as you need to, and we need to get Ricky out there more. I mean, that's something that we need to make sure happens.
Is he at the level where he can play more than just safety? I know they're talking about putting him in on dime and nickel packing.
Yeah, but, you know, we haven't had much dime.
That's true.
We haven't played much dime because of the types of offenses and the personnel groupings we've been facing. So, but that is still something that he works in practice. We just haven't had much of a chance to use it in games.
What was your impressions of this Louisiana Lafayette team already beat one Big 12 team this year?
I'm fairly familiar with the personnel and some of the people they have from my time down in Louisiana. They're going to be they're a pretty talented football team. They have a lot of athleticism. It's well coached. Obviously, you saw what they did a couple weeks ago. What was it? 2 weeks ago. It's a pretty good football team coming in here with pretty capable athletes. A lot of speed.
How do you deal with their defense? They're very aggressive, blitzing, put a lot of pressure on K-State.
Yeah, they bring a lot of folks, and they change it up a lot. They're pretty aggressive defensively. So, and I would imagine they're going to continue that trend. But I like what our plan is right now.
A lot of focus on Sue coming this season. What has Jared Crick done for this defensive line?
You know, Crick's played really, really well. I mean, I think sometimes he's been overshadowed a little bit by what Sue brings to the table and the kind of level he's playing at. But Jared Crick's playing really good football. I think we're playing pretty well up front.
2 weeks ago, there was a lot of talk about getting more physical. Last week, it seemed like there was an emphasis on tackling. What would you say is kind of the emphasis this week that you want your team to make?
You know, kind of what I would say from way back when. All the way back into the summertime and at the end of the spring. You know, that we have too many mental breakdowns. We have too many, we need to clean up our football. And we need to be, we need to have a better level of consistency across the board. And I said it, and I believe it's coaching. And we got to get that aspect of our football team to go to the next level and to play. We need to be more consistent across the board in every area, in every phase of the game. And that means to practice, continue to practice consistently, and then carry it over into the games, and just a more consistent level of execution. And that's mental and physical. You know, there's so many things that go into that. It's something that I'm continually talking to our guys about, and it's about your approach, it's about your focus, about your demeanor. There's so many things that go into it, and I just know there's a lot more out there for this group, for this football team. There's a lot more. We can be so much better. You know, I know a lot of people said that they thought that, you know, we played tremendous defense the other day, with the exception of three plays. We didn't play to our capabilities, and I can say that about offense and special teams also. And we just got to keep working.
Well, the offensive play calling has been pretty 50-50, but with the way Roy started, can you make it more focal point in the offense, or do you like to keep that balance?
Well, you want to have balance, but I think it's obvious with over the last couple of weeks he is a focal point of the offense. I mean, he's a guy, he's one of the focal points, I think our offense does a good job. I think Coach Watson does a good job at taking what's there. I think we have balance. We're multiple in what we do, and now we just got to keep executing. And the other day it was just a matter of finishing off drives, and we didn't execute. We left. I give Virginia Tech credit, but I also say, that we didn't. We left a lot of points out there.
How much time do you spend this week practicing your red zone offense because of that?
No different than we always do. Like the red zone offense, it's throughout. It's executing from the time you get the ball right on through. And it's just a, you know, you can sit there and say it was just a red zone offense. Well, we didn't execute all the way through.
What creative strategies do you as a coach employ to help your team overcome a very difficult week?
Say that again.
What creative strategies do you as a coach employ to help your team overcome an emotionally difficult week or month?
I've been, you know, it's a mindset that I've been trying to instill in this football team since I arrived, and I think our team's over it. We've moved on. I know you guys haven't, and it's probably there are a lot of fans that haven't. That's, I mean, you guys have that luxury. We don't. You got to move on, and we've moved on.
Last year after the Texas Tech game, you guys kind of springboarded off and went on to, you know, play some great football and go to the bowl game. Do you think that this is going to be kind of a similar situation where you can kind of use this as a springboard?
Well, I told the football team yesterday, we need to use that as, you know, the disappointment, the rage in some ways is fuel for the future. Or you can use it, or you can be weak-minded and not step up and be a man and take accountability for us, you know, not coming out on top to divide you or point fingers or we haven't done that around here. I mean, the way our football team came out in practice yesterday, it became really, really obvious to me that they took the message, they understand, and we've moved on. And our guys are, you know, I said, we need to take a good hard look at, you know, everybody, you know, it's easy to kind of step back and look at what happened in the football game and point to one or two or three plays that you say, it wasn't for those, you know, we would have won the football game. But there are tons of other plays in there that would have put us in a situation where we wouldn't even have been in that situation. And it goes, so what I'm saying is everybody has a responsibility, and it's a team loss. And bottom line is, as a football team, we lost the football game. And we need to get that fixed. We need to move on. And if we address it the right way, as coaches, players, and as a whole football team, it will make us better. And I think that's what happened last year at times. You know, that's why you're able to move on. Because, you know, I mean, I know I frustrate you guys at times because, you know, I'm pretty direct. I'm short, maybe to the point. But to me, it is pretty black and white. And I take that approach to our players. If, you know, you watch the film, you look at what needs to get fixed, you fix it, and you'll be better because of it. You know, it's not you got to take a good look in the mirror. You got to look on the inside and look at you first, and then you start looking at the other things. And I do that as a football coach. We do it as a staff, and I know our players have learned to do that. And it's all a team concept. And I think because of that, you don't see guys pointing fingers or, you know, muttering. We don't have problems, and we're able to move on because we understand that the root of the problem starts here first. You know, we just need to keep working to get better and keep the team in mind. And I said yesterday, all the goals are out there that we've set out to accomplish are still out there for us to accomplish if we address it the right way. And it means being a man. It means standing up and taking responsibility for what happened, each and every one of us, and moving on.
Well, I know you talked about how you moved on, but humor me if you would.
Yeah.
In your years as a player, assistant coach, and coach, the way that thing unfolded the other day, I guess for you, how painful was that as you look back over your days in football?
I can say it was as hard a loss as I've ever encountered in football. And I've had some hard ones. I've been in some different, you know, that was difficult. But you know what? It's time to move on. I've moved on. I really have. It took me a little longer, but I've moved on.
That's worse than getting blown out, isn't it?
In some ways, yeah. You know, but I've you know, I think back. I mean, I've been in some difficult deals where I've walked off the field thinking, yeah, I mean, I've had some difficult losses, really difficult losses over my career, playing and coaching. But, you know, I guess you always remember the most recent one. But there, you know, you got to find a way. And I've always felt, you know, I kind of said last week, I like playing on the road because I love the challenge of it. You know, as a football coach and as a, as a coordinator and just throughout my career, it's situations like this that define you. It's going to help define our football team. It's going to define me as a coach, as a person. And you got to rise up to challenges. And when you face a disappointment like that, it is a challenge to come back. And each and one of our guys on our football team are facing that challenge. And I look forward to challenges, and I want to stare it in the face and make sure we do the right things to get this thing fixed. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to come out Saturday, and I promise you, you're going to see a group of guys playing with passion. And you're not going to see anybody crying about what happened last week. Our guys are going to come out, and we're going to play our tails off. That's what's going to happen. I vow that that will happen on Saturday.
Well, if you had to do it over again, would you go for it on 4th and 1?
No, I wouldn't. I would not. It was a little more than one. It was almost 2. And I just felt like the right thing in that situation was the punt. I had total confidence that they weren't going to score. I would do it again. You know, to be honest with you, I didn't even consider it. I really didn't. If it would have been less than 1, it had been a short 1, I might have done it. I just felt like as me as a coach, I felt like we used our timeouts. I thought we were going to get the first down. We didn't get the first down. It looked like a little bit longer. You know, it looked like 2 yards, and I thought, it was the right thing for me in my mind, right, that position was to punt it. Have I thought about, you know, should I have gone for it? Obviously, you can always sit there and, you know, I rethink 50 decisions I made in that football game. And, at the time, I really think, given how the game had gone, I don't think I would have done it any other way.
Is it a different decision if it's a 35-31 game? Where both teams have been racing up and down.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. But they, you know, they hadn't done anything on. I just felt like we were in control of the game defensively. I really did. And, barring a breakdown, I think we were in control. But, you know, what were we going to do? I mean, I didn't do a good enough job on that last drive.
Anything else for Coach? Can you comment on the play of the receivers on Saturday?
The play of the receivers?
Yeah.
Like there are some good things, there's some things we need to get fixed. I think, you know, well, I like a lot of the other aspects of our football in every area, inconsistent. I could think you could say that across the board. That's when you come out, you know, inconsistency and leads to one in the loss column, and that's what happened. But, yeah, I'm not putting that on, I'm putting that across the board, you know what I'm saying? Well, thanks, guys.
That's Nebraska head football coach Bo Pelini and his weekly press conference, probably the best one of the year right there. He addressed probably everything that I would want to hear, everything that the media would want to hear, the fans would want to hear, the team would want to hear, the coaching staff would want to hear, ranging from the loss to Zach Lee to being ready to play this Saturday to the fans and seemed to be in pretty good demeanor. And, you know, actually, maybe part of that was because I don't think I heard a dumb question asked today either. I mean, there was a little fun off the top, but I think it all goes hand in hand. What can be accomplished in less than 30 minutes, and that's Bo Pelini's press conference for today.
Well, I think, you know, initially you looked at this press conference today and you go, this is going to be short and sweet and not a lot of fun to be at. You know, he comes in, loosens things up, and I think obviously that's how he deals with a deal like on Saturday. You got to move on, and you're going to use humor to get yourself through it. And that deal is forgotten. That deal will not be brought up in that locker room again this year. They're looking forward to Louisiana. Now, Doug, do you reassess your having the big letdown on Saturday when he said, I vowed that this group will have come out with a sense of passion and play with pride in that?
I don't know. I hope so. They're 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. I mean, they're kids. They're young men, however you want to say that. Every week a coach is going to expect his team ready to go. I think maybe that the report was that they were good yesterday, but as long as I don't get one of those growly Wednesday or Thursday practices where we stunk and I don't, you know, we'll see. Hopefully that's what you want as a coaching staff. That's what you want. Let's see if it happens. One day after, maybe a little too soon to find out. We've got email. We've got a little bit more reaction
Troutman's.
Here. And it's time to do Troutman's as we go into our final break on the Extended Tuesday show. We got a good one for you today. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you've not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible for a $25 gift card. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Daddy, you have the trivia question concerning this week's opponent, the Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette.
Who is the Ragin' Cajuns' career passing leader?
The all-time passing yard leader in Louisiana history. Any clues? Any hints?
Well, I think he's playing in the NFL.
He is currently playing in the NFL. Call now, 888-455-3776. Back to wrap it up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Southwest Airlines presents Break It Down, Ripper!
Southwest Airlines ramp agents Ricky Rogers, Terry Glover, and Mickey Schwartz give a lesson in bag math 101.
You know that other airlines charge up to $20 just for your first bag?
And 34 seconds.
Man, that's like $100 for a round trip.
Just for their bags.
Well, how about if I just send my bags on vacation and I stay home?
Rampers know best. Only Southwest doesn't charge for your first or second check bag. Save up to $100 round trip. Go to southwest.com. Grab your bag. It's on. Baggage weight and size limits apply.
You get out of medical school and you think that everything's going to be all about relationships and empathy and compassion, but really you're just trying to see as many patients as possible.
You've never met a doctor quite like Jay Parkinson of Hello Health in Brooklyn, New York. He's rethinking healthcare and using technology to reconnect doctors and patients.
Hello Health helps you connect with your doctor in person and online. You choose, do I want an office visit, a video visit, an IM visit, or a phone visit? We're just trying to make it comfortable so that people share more and just have more of a relationship.
But Dr. J couldn't do it alone.
As the business grows, I'm going to need all the help I can get. But the great thing is, I'll be able to issue Visa business cards to my employees and even set spending limits. So I can control who spends how much and know what they're spending it on. I'm a new kind of physician. I'm using technology to bring that old school relationship back.
Learn how Visa business helps Dr. J control spending in ways checks can't. Visit visa.com/gobiz. More small businesses go forward with Visa.
Have you noticed a change in your hearing? If so, then see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. Our university-trained audiologists can customize hearing aid products to fit your needs, lifestyle, and budget. We continuously update our product line to offer our patients the latest advances in hearing aid technology. So to learn more about the hearing aid products and services we provide, visit us online at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
It's the once-a-year all-out Snellathon going on this week only at Kearney Yamaha. Save more than $1,000 on select Yamaha Grizzly ATVs or check out the 550cc Yamaha Grizzly. With power steering, fuel injection, and a huge radiator, they're the perfect ATV. Two wheels more your style? Well, then you've got to stop by and check out the unbelievable rebates on their Yamaha V-Star 950s. This fuel-injected belt drive classic cruiser is an incredible new model and price to move. Dunlop ATV tires, just $55, almost half the regular price of $95. Or check out the eye-popping discounts on select apparel and accessories. But hurry in, this sale is only 1 week. It's the once-a-year all-out sell-a-thon going on this week only at Kearney Yamaha. Kearney Yamaha, Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, your new Polaris Ranger dealer. Just south of I-80, Kearney.
Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha.
Mostly considerable cloud cover across the area as we head through the day today with some showers possible with a high in the low 60s. Northwest winds will also remain gusty at times. Tonight we'll see more shower activity with a low at 46. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 52.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We have a winner for our Troutman's Tuesday trivia. Who knew the answer there, Derek?
It looks like we got John from Kearney in, guys.
He knew that the all-time passing leader from Louisiana, Lafayette, is...
Jake DeLome.
That's right. Struggling right now with the Carolina Panthers, but Jake DeLome has it.
Interesting tidbit. The career receiving leader for the Raging Cajuns, one Brennan Stokely. So a couple big names heads up those list of passing leaders and receiving leaders. Oh, rushing leader, Terrell Ferroy.
Let's talk about another leader.
Hot Dynagros, who you're talking about, Doug. They appreciate you stopping by and seeing them at Husker Harvest Days. They want to talk about one of their new hybrids. It's 57 V07, consistent top yields for western environments. Flexier type, handles low populations when water is limited. Good choice for corn following corn. Handle sandy soils and high pH soils very, very well, and has shown a very good tolerance to the wilt. That's right. Call your Dynagrow seeds dealer today, 1-800-652-9298. Get a hold of them. They're going to set what you have, what you need on your farming operation. Soil types do vary, but that's why they have local Dynagrow seeds dealers, so they know what to put on your farming operation. 1-800-652-9298.
On the Dead Popper inbox email, Luke and Carney says, "Hey guys, I think we're all grabbing at straws trying to point at one thing, one decision, one play that cost us the Virginia Tech game. The only thing we should be wondering is why we had to settle for 5 field goals and how we went from first and goal at the 5 to punting. That is what cost us the game. All of this other stuff being brought up and the blaming that is going on, all excuses. Not scoring when we had opportunities is the only reason the game ended up the way it did." Luke, thanks so much for the email. You don't see that very often, first and goal and end up punting. But it did happen in the ballgame. So there you go. Other reactions, as we heard from Bo Pelini and his press conference as we're getting ready to wrap up the show today. Other reaction?
You know, I think that he likes the group of guys he's around. I think last year, you go back, I think he had players. I think that those guys have mostly moved on. He's got his group of guys in there right now. I like when he commented on Philip Dillard and said, you know what, thought he brought a lot of physicality to the game. I think Philip Dillard must have had something going on those first two games. I can't see him holding him out totally. Played a lot of football last Saturday, continued to see a lot of action.
Also talked about Matt O'Hanlon, didn't beat around the bush, even though the question wasn't necessarily it was about him. It just didn't necessarily use his name. And he commented on Collins Okafor.
Yeah, that was surprising. Kind of wanted him on the football team and said, hey, I like that. Because if you're not having fun down there, if you're putting in the hours those guys are putting in and you're not enjoying it, you best be finding something else to do.
What is it about those Omaha kids that quit and come back?
Well, that's just bred into him, I think.
Maybe he'll get a Heisman. Who knows? Former UNK wrestler Tervell Delognev is wrestling.
Just can't let it go, can you?
He's wrestling at the World Wrestling Championships in Denmark. Evidently, this is a one-day deal. This is unbelievable to me. He's already wrestled 3 times this morning, and he will wrestle. Maybe it's 4 times here. Let's see. Rolled into the semifinals, yeah, with wins over wrestlers from Hungary. Belarus and Azerbaijan. Then in the quarterfinals, he lost to Ali Isef of the European champion for a 3rd time this year. So he beat that guy from Azerbaijan. Then in the semifinals, he took on Iran's Vladi Musami, one of the tournament favorites. He lost to him, so he will wrestle for 3rd place at the World Championships that are going on today, and that match is coming up later on. It's nighttime over there. We should have the results later this afternoon on our afternoon sports for Tervell Delognev, wrestling for 3rd and 4th in the world.
Are you sure it's Azerbaijan?
Yes, I'm positive okay. It's Azerbaijan.
Cool. I just never heard of Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan, whatever you want to, you know, but yes. Also, don't forget tonight, the Heartland Events Center plays host to the 1st annual Volleyball Showcase Classic, kind of getting that place ready for state volleyball tournament the next couple of years. You can hear all 3 matches on our sister station, KKPR FM Classic Hits 98.9. It will be Grand Island Senior High in Columbus at 4:30, Grand Island Northwest and Aurora at approximately 6, and then after that, Grand Island Central Catholic and Kearney Catholic 5 of the 6 teams are state-rated in this morning's rankings in the Omaha World Herald and Lincoln Journal Star, including Central Catholic being in the all-class top 10 in the Omaha World Herald. First and second round games of the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament return to the Quest Center in Omaha in 2012 as well, Tony. That is a good time. The last time it was here, and looking forward to do that again. And I think that covers everything that we had to talk about. UNK's Mason Brodeen, the Nebraska Division II Defensive Player of the Week, while the place kicker Jordan Alegria is the Nebraska Division II and RMAC Special Teams Player of the Week. Hastings College Volleyball home tonight to take on Doan. Want to thank Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald for joining us. Bo Pelini's press conference tomorrow on the show. Bob Jensen and Greg Shea with a special announcement from the Tri-City Storm tomorrow on the program.
Yeah, we're looking for that. We'll see you 23 hours from now. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.